98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
If you would have told me that Kelly Oubre Jr. would have confined his conquests in Orlando to chasing Pokemon characters in Disney World, I would have guessed the outcome would not have been good for our NBA team. But a crazy thing is happening to the Phoenix Suns. People are talking about them, and they're actually saying good things. There's a new kind of momentum building and a heavy question in the air. Are they ready to seize a new destiny right here, right now? We're going to find out in a few hours after a quasi-showdown with the Clippers. But for now, it's exciting enough that this team has created a window of opportunity. The Suns have impressed pretty much everyone in the bubble so far, from their business-like approach to their roster to their head coach and this new culture he's building. They were gifted a spot in this bubble, which came with a lot of undeserved attention. They were suddenly on the inside with all the cool kids, not on the outside with all the losers, and the Suns have been making the most of it. How often have we been able to say something like that in recent years? Now, more to the point, how far will they take it, and how soon will they take it? We're going to find out in a few hours. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW. Open for business in two great locations off the I-10 and Ray Road in Chandler. On Camelback Road in Phoenix, you can always find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
Yep, we'll get back into the Suns in a second. Kind of the reverse of game one so far for the Coyotes in Edmonton. About five and a half minutes to go in the first period. They're down two to the Nashville Predators, 2-0. Bonino and then Johansson unassisted in the first 10.5 minutes of the period. So
yeah,
uphill battle in game two.
But the unassisted goal, by the way, was a really bad turnover from Phil Kessel. He whiffed on a clearing pass right to the side of the net, left Darcy Kemper exposed. Bad turnover led to that second goal. Bad, bad play from Phil Kessel there.
Yeah, but you know what? With 5 minutes to go, you put one on the board before the first intermission,
mm-hmm.
you're right back in shape.
Or then how about this? If you fall down 3-0 in this game, how soon do you pull the plug? How soon do you quit going full board knowing that you got another game tomorrow? And in that case, game three in a best of five, that's a hugely
Yeah, but that's and I know the rarity of the back-to-backs, and you've talked about it, and you've used the word inhumane, especially with a playoff setting. But that is just so against kind of the hockey way of thinking, isn't it? I mean, that would be a basketball. If it was
a basketball
game and you fell behind by 30, you might clear the bench and take it easy.
Yeah.
Or baseball, they put in a position player to pitch.
You can't really clear the bench in hockey. You got 18 skaters and two goalies.
You put in a position player to play goalie?
Put in Clayton Keller in goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that
kind of like it's like putting a second baseman on the mound to pitch.
Yeah, we see that every day in baseball. Yeah, the Suns are about an hour away from tip-off in Orlando against the L.A. Clippers, and head coach Monty Williams looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it.
I told you.
Going against this kind of team, and I think our guys do. You know, we know that we're not in that class, but we get a chance to go against these teams that are here, and we get to not just test ourselves, but we get to compete and have a chance to win, and I think that's great.
Yeah, this is a you've identified it. We've talked about it. I think anybody who's following the Suns realizes that this is actually a big game. I didn't going into this. I didn't think there would be a game of this magnitude in the bubble in Orlando for the Suns.
Yeah, and certainly not this early.
No, not at all. Yeah. But with the way things are shaking out in front of them, with Memphis opening the door for everybody, and the Suns being, you know, one of those teams that's actually avoided a loss so far in Orlando. It's got some importance to it.
And that is a direct reward from what they were able to pull off against the Dallas Mavericks. Being able to come back and win that game, as improbable as it was and as improbable as it seemed, that's their reward. Their reward is they're still unbeaten. I did not believe they'd be 2-0 without Kelly Oubre. I did not think they'd get past Dallas. But they have, and they found... They found something from Cameron Payne last game. I don't think they can expect that, but they might have found something in Cam Johnson, who obviously decided to come back from the pandemic break a little more muscular, and it looks like he's got his mind in a real good place. There's a lot of things trending in the right direction for this basketball team after a couple of games that we get to kind of vibe on now. And, you know, it goes to show you just how bad we really want this. And I know we revisit this topic quite frequently, but it has been so long since this basketball team has played really meaningful games. And
I agree with that. And I think, you know, when a game like this pops up, it's been so rare, maybe it gets magnified a little bit more because of it, you know, because of the absence of these important games for so long, which it used to be. I mean, for people who just moved to the Valley and maybe became Suns fans over the last decade, big games happened all the time. It wasn't that out of the ordinary.
No.
So now to, you know, have to grasp at games like this, which again, it's an important game, but it's been frustrating.
Well, look, I went back and I checked this out because the first year under Jeff Hornacek, that basketball team, they were in the playoff picture right around the 7 or 8 seed, right until about 10 games to go in the season, and then they lost their grip. And they really haven't played meaningful basketball games since. And when I say meaningful, I mean games with potential playoff implications. You can play big games in November and December, and the Suns have played big games and won a few of them, and we've had some memorable moments, you know, Devin Booker's night in the Boston Garden, all that stuff. But real meaningful games, it's been a long time since we've had one of those. And this one today kind of feels like one because it is one.
Yeah, I would agree. Going back to Cam Johnson, we knew he could shoot. That was the label on Cam Johnson coming in to the NBA from North Carolina, other than the fact that, you know, a lot of Suns fans made fun of him because in NBA terms, he's really old for a rookie. But he came in with that one NBA ingredient, shooting. He can still shoot the ball, but he showed a lot more defensively, 12 rebounds the other night, more athleticism, I think, than most people have. But here was Devin Booker talking about what Cam Johnson does do for the Suns team.
You know, having Cam at the four, him and Kel being interchangeable at that position just gives us a lot of space out there. As you see the play that you're talking about, you know, when you have a rim threat like DeAndre, and a shooter in the corner like Cam, you know, that's what the NBA is. They have to make a decision. And, you know, the way Cam's shooting the ball, I think teams are going to realize that, you know, that's a decision that they can't make.
Cam Johnson also spoke to the media yesterday, was asked the question, over this weird rookie season that you've had, where has your game improved the most?
I think it's the pace of the game and where plays come from, how plays develop. Those are the things that the main things that I feel like I've started to grasp a lot better since October. Obviously, when you get to the league, it's a different place. It's a different pace than college. So picking that up was one thing, and then figuring out where my shots will come from and how to get, you know, establishing the flow and the rhythm of the game is another thing that comes. I think that's starting to come along for me.
Yeah, he definitely, you know, we talked, especially in the exhibition games, how comfortable Mikal Bridges looked in his second year. And Cam Johnson certainly looks like he's got increased comfort on the court, and this is still his first year. What a weird rookie season for these guys, huh?
Oh yeah,
all around the league.
Yeah, completely. And it's. But I think we knew this going in. We knew that when they got to the bubble, we were going to learn some things about certain players. Those who stayed in shape, those who didn't, those who took the time to become better. I mean, there have been guys who have really kind of worked on their physiques during the time off, and there are guys who have just, you know, maybe not so much. I think it's fascinating they're in this position. I hope they can keep it going, Vinny. It's really, really cool what is, because once again, you can make a strong argument that the Suns don't deserve to be in there. They don't deserve to be in the mixing of these teams fighting for the playoffs based on their record and where they've been the last 10 years, but they were gifted it. And they could have gone one or two ways with this thing. They could have come in, checked the boxes, done their duty, took their losses, and gone home, where they could come here trying to make a statement. We'd all wish they'd do the latter. We weren't sure if they were, but they are, and that's super cool. I just, listen, they need everybody on board today. I would love to see this team respond to this opportunity with a real transcendent performance, and I'm starting with DeAndre Ayton. He's really got to be so much more engaged than he was against the Mavericks.
Oh, I totally agree with that. And you know what? Going up against, Porzingis is a hard matchup because of his athleticism and his length. Zubats is no slouch, but he's not Porzingis either. This might be a better matchup for DeAndre going into this game.
Yeah.
Under 3 minutes to go in the first period, Coyotes squandered another power play. For the second straight game, we've seen the physical version of Taylor Hall getting into a scrap with Ryan Ellis. They're both off the ice now for the last 3 minutes or so, 4-on-4 hockey for the next 2 minutes.
Wow.
2-0 Nashville still leads. How is Cam Johnson's presence in the starting lineup adding a new dynamic for the Suns? Kellen Olsen has an in-depth piece on that. You can check it out right now on ArizonaSports.com. MLB, we had a brief conversation with Max Kellerman, who's starting his new radio show on August 17th, and he gave his unequivocal thoughts on the NFL. No way they're finishing their season. Major League Baseball has at least started. And, you know, a lot of people are criticizing Major League Baseball, Bick, for the lack of going down that bubble road.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've seen now, with the overwhelming number of tests done in the NHL and the NBA, with zero being the return number positive, those two entities, which are well-suited for bubble play, let's remind you, they did it the right way. Baseball had an option. They didn't go down that road. Jeff Passan of ESPN, though, he was asked the question on Get Up, should Major League Baseball at this point do an about-face, construct the bubble? He had some interesting thoughts here.
On the fly, Greeny, I don't think that that's possible at all. Just because we saw how much, A, money the NBA spent, B, how much time the NBA spent putting its bubble together. Now, an October bubble, a playoff bubble, that seems to be a much more realistic thing for Major League Baseball to embrace. And the idea that amid this second wave that it had been talking about, you know, behind the scenes for months, MLB saying we got to end September 27th. We got to end because the second wave is coming. If you're that scared about the second wave, put a bubble together. Do it in L.A. Do it in Texas. Do it in Phoenix. Do it in Florida. Do it anywhere. Do it in Dyersville, Iowa, where the Fields of Dreams game was supposed to be. I don't care. Just get a bubble together if you want the sanctity of October to exist.
Interesting thought. You think Major League Baseball goes down that road?
No. No, I...
Is that just strictly because of a lack of leadership?
Leadership, and I think that... I don't know. I don't know if Major League Baseball is as vested financially into getting this thing done as the NBA is with their season or... what we might see with the NFL.
The league and the players.
With
what we
involved.
Saw with the negotiations, I think at a certain point they just say, forget it, let's do next year.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense, but there probably would be a lot of added expense to that, and at that point, if you got a team to a World Series, I think they would effectively self-quarantine at that point in time.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the importance of when you're in this situation, it's important to be vigilant, make good choices. Mm-hmm. We've seen a couple teams already not do that, and we'll get into that in a second. But that without the bubble, that's a hard proposition for individuals on baseball teams to come to grips to. It's like, it's still only a 60-game season. But we're at the beginning of this. If the carrot of the World Series was right there, I agree. I think your instinct kicks in. We got to take this seriously, more seriously than we have in the past. Now, the Miami Marlins are at the front of it. They're returning to the field today. Derek Jeter, the CEO of the Marlins, 9 days after this all went down, Bick, when we saw Major League Baseball step in and go, all right, we're postponing some games for now. 9 days after that, Derek Jeter spoke about it, and he gave some details, but not a lot.
You know, some of our traveling party had a false sense of security and comfort and how they handled themselves when we left Miami.
Now, he said this.
One of the first and most important things that we all can do is to have a little empathy for our players. You know, they've been stricken with a virus that has no cure other than to run its course. Our players and coaches went into this knowing that their health was on the line. And unfortunately, they've had to endure quite a trying time over the last week plus. And we have seen firsthand just how contagious this virus is.
All right. So the idea of empathy, the Marlins haven't gotten much empathy. They've been used as the cautionary tale. They've been butt of jokes. There's a lot of frustration with that organization. But Derek Jeter also went on to say, our guys didn't really do much wrong, but they did do this.
In our review, it was determined we had guys leave to get coffee, to get clothes. A guy left to have dinner at a teammate's house. There were no other guests on site. There was no salacious activity. There's no hanging out at bars, no clubs, no running around Atlanta, no running around the town. What it boiled down to on this particular trip was guys were around each other, they got relaxed, and they let their guard down. They were getting together in groups. They weren't wearing masks as much as they should have. They weren't social distancing.
I mean, it kind of softens the last part with the beginning of it, you know. They didn't do anything wrong, but they did do this wrong.
Yeah. I
mean,
I don't know how much I buy that.
I don't know either. And there was reports coming out of Miami that said, you know, they were hanging out at the hotel bar and they weren't wearing masks.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was hearing. And like I said, Bob Nightingale reported that pretty definitively. It's not something that Derek Jeter is going to want to come out and cop to. It makes the Marlins look very derelict in their commitment. But I have a hard time. It was just guys getting together to talk baseball, and, oh, we happen to be sitting too close together.
But this is such a baseball thing. Rob Manfred saying, hey, I'm shutting this down if the players don't get better. Well, I'm not a quitter, but the players have to do better. No responsibility there. Derek Jeter, CEO of the Marlins, a team that's had, that hasn't taken the field in over a week. Oh, we didn't really do that much wrong. And the Marlins are getting the brunt of it, and I feel like just because they're more established and more respected and more successful, the St. Louis Cardinals are kind of getting a carte blanche on all of this.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
They went out to a casino, too.
Yeah, and that is as dumb as anything else.
But those wings in the casino were just literally to die for.
Yeah, listen, and that's kind of what's really disappointing in this, is that Major League Baseball offered no resistance to the players when the players said, we don't want any part of a bubble. Okay, fine. You don't want it because we all know now in hindsight that there was a bigger financial related battle that everybody was actually focused on. With that should come the okay, you know what? Phew. We're not sequestered in a place. We don't have to leave our families. You think baseball players would show a little gratitude towards that, and yet they can't. Some can't, and it's the battle. This is what Joey Bosa was talking about in regards to the NFL. Those guys on NFL rosters who are like the guys on the Cardinals and or the guys on the Miami Marlins, those guys can't go out because if they do, they're going to ruin it for everybody. But try telling that to the guy who has to go out. He ain't going to hear it.
Yeah. What happens if the Marlins screw up again?
Oh, my goodness.
Just contract them for the season.
Yeah, right.
You guys do what you
want.
Goodbye
me.
You're not playing.
Well, in all seriousness, though, I wonder if they would just say you're not playing the rest of the season. We're getting rid of one of the teams.
Maybe. Because the Phillies have been affected by it, too. I mean, they didn't do anything wrong. And they had a long layoff because of it.
I mean, there's going to be a certain point where they just can't, you know, they can't play five doubleheaders in a week to try to catch up. And it's going to be too great a difference. Like, you can't, they talked about, okay, not everybody's going to play 60 games. Mm-hmm. But I think they're saying that with, okay, some will play 60, some will play 55 or something like that.
Yeah.
They can't have a team play 40 games and a team play 60 games.
No, that's way too much of a differential. Even five is a big differential when it comes down to it.
I know, but I think they're anticipating that might happen, but anything more than that, crazy.
The good news for the Coyotes is after one period, they outshot Nashville 13-5. The bad news is they're down 2-0.
Yeah, that's the bad news.
Well, you play three periods.
Yeah, no, but the next team, I mean, the next goal scored in this game is going to be hugely pivotal. If it's by the Coyotes, they're back in it. If it's by Nashville, the game's over.
Yeah. Coming up next, Arizona Diamondbacks had a day off. Was that enough to get the offense cranked up a little bit? We'll find out. We'll get into the D-backs next. It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Look, my father was a PhD in mathematics. He went to MIT undergrad. I know a little bit about math, and you're right. You should be worried at 8 and 19. I'm just saying again that baseball is the greatest game because it cannot be predicted. And strange things happen all the time. The Nationals went from 19 and 31 to the World Series last year. And I'm not suggesting for a second that the Diamondbacks are good enough to win the World Series, but strange things happen in 10 games. Teams go 3-7 and then turn around and go 8-2. You go 8-2, you're right back in it.
Okay.
Better get going.
There you go.
You better get going now.
Yes.
Tim Kirch, an ESPN baseball insider, joined Duggan and Wolf yesterday.
He trips me out.
I played that for you, Ben.
Thank you. Thank you.
I know how much you enjoy it.
I just love how he covers every scenario with every answer. I just love it.
Well, Torrey Lovello himself, the manager of the Diamondbacks, talked about taking this game, this season in 10-game chunks. And the first 10-game chunk was, that's not a chunk you want to preserve. You don't want to wrap that up and put it in the fridge. Throw it out, forget about it, start on the next chunk, which starts tonight with the Houston Astros in town. And Tim Kirchen is right about a lot of things. Baseball is a weird game. One of the things that I've loved over the past couple months and doing today in sports history is just reading all these, I mean, the crazy things that happen in Major League Baseball that make no sense. The Diamondbacks being 3-7, I'm not saying it doesn't make any sense, but it doesn't look right. They don't look like a 3-7 team on paper. They've played like maybe a 2-8 or a 1-9 team through the first 10 games. I'm just wondering if, you know, with everything being so, what's the word I'm looking for? Upside down this year in terms of looking at the outlook of the season, getting off to the slow start. Is one day off enough to recharge the batteries? The Houston Astros aren't the same. I mean, there's still a lot of talent on that team, obviously. But you're not getting bombarded with three top-flight pitchers night after night after night. This might be an opportunity for them to come around.
Well, it better be. I mean, what does it say about a baseball team when the number one directive for everybody is to get off to a fast start and your team does exactly the opposite? That is not a good look. It's either a team that was not as good as we had hoped or a team that is not reacting well to the circumstances. Torrey Lovello is shaking things up just a little bit. Dalton Varsho is getting the start tonight as DH. Their lineup looks like this: Ketel Marte, Cole Calhoun, number two, Starling Marte, third, Walker, Escobar, Peralta, Kelly, Varsho, Ahmed. So we get a new DH in here to see what he can do, but that might signify the end of Jake Lamb for a while.
Which, you know, I was reading Zach Buchanan's piece today on The Athletic as well, and Lamb certainly doesn't have the production, but Zach looked at the difference in exit velocity for the hitters. And Jake Lamb's among the Diamondbacks that's hitting the ball the hardest, if you can believe that.
The last the opening day game here for the Diamondbacks, which would have been the first game against the Dodgers, he made a couple of really loud outs. And I think those quality at-bats that they're seeing in the cage on a day-to-day basis, I think that's what's kind of guided them to keep Jake Lamb in the lineup. But at some point now, you've got to get some production. I don't care who. The reason why this is important to me is that if you want to create what you said, if you want to create a kind of like let's hit the reset button kind of thing happening this week against the Astros, it's good that it starts with Madison Bumgarner tonight because he can kind of go out and maybe win this game all by himself and just kind of make that statement himself that this ends now. And if he does that, then maybe everybody follows. Maybe it creates some momentum. Maybe with better starting pitching, it won't be the hitters will loosen up a little bit and vice versa. I hope it happens.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of evidence that it's going to.
I don't either. Until I see it, I don't know if I'm necessarily going to believe it's going to happen. You mentioned Nick Ahmed hitting ninth today against the Astros, and he's made great strides during his major league career and improving at bat, but he's probably had the roughest go of anybody.
Oh,
he's 2-for-31 this year. 0-for-3 the other day against the Dodgers with three strikeouts. He hasn't had a hit since the first game of the Texas series.
Mm-hmm.
He's a wonderful defensive shortstop. But, you know, normally speaking, you don't have an entire lineup of slumping hitters. You know, if one or two guys are slumping, you know, Nick Ahmed, you pencil him in every day because he's that good defensively. But mm-hmm. when this many guys are slumping, when do you start to consider maybe giving Nick a day off?
Well,
because he's been 0-for-4 against Texas, 0-for-the-series against the Dodgers, and that is 0-for-11. You got 11 at bats in that series.
Mm-hmm.
Again, 2-for-31. Normally, you can mitigate that with other guys producing in the lineup, but
his
they're just
glove
struggling.
Is so good, though.
It is.
And then the replacement, who is the natural guy that slides in to play shortstop? I mean, it's to me, I take a look here, and yeah, this is one of those things where they've got some guys that are going to have to turn it around. David Peralta is a guy that's going to have to turn it around. Mm-hmm. They don't have Pop in the lineup
Escobar
elsewhere.
Too.
Yeah, and Escobar, to me, he's really been the biggest disappointment because Eduardo Escobar last year, what he did offensively was phenomenal. He looks like a guy to me who just is not in the greatest of shape right now. And that's and maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's just how it kind of appears to me.
Yeah.
But what he did last year was so special offensively that the loss of it really is impactful. And I think David Peralta... Also, he's so much a heart and soul guy on this team that if he's not contributing, it brings that down. It's like having Tyrann Mathieu on the sidelines injured. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Uh-huh.
If your big energy guys that move the room are either not playing injured or not producing, it kind of lowers the vibe of everything. And mm-hmm. Diamondbacks have to get over this fast.
The clock is definitely ticking with 50 games to go. ESPN.com had a piece today. Craig Edwards wrote this. It's called How Long Every MLB Team Projects to Be in the Playoff Race in 2020. And I was like, that's kind of interesting. They used FanGraphs, playoff odds, and you know all the statistical analysis. First team out of the race, the Pittsburgh Pirates. Some people are projecting they might have the worst winning percentage in the history of Major League Baseball when it's all said and done. The next group, Seattle, Miami, Baltimore. The next group, Detroit and Kansas City. Then the Giants. Then, surprisingly... Colorado, September 14th, which is still pretty late in the season, but only the second NL West team. In the heartbreak city at season's end category, the Mets, the Phillies, and the Diamondbacks. The write-up says the Phillies, Mets, and D-backs all have good teams with a really good shot at the playoffs. The teams are mostly balanced with solid pitching and hitting. For each club, there's top-tier star power. He mentions Ketel Marte and mentions the Diamondbacks starting pitching. Then he says the Mets and Diamondbacks have already fallen behind the competition. If Arizona can't edge out the Padres for second place in the West and the Nationals and Braves take the top two spots in the East, the three teams in this tier will battle it out for the final few playoff spots. So those are the teams you might be pushing against unless there's a massive turnaround. This season, it's 10 games long. It's made no sense to me from a Diamondback standpoint.
Yeah, I know.
So far.
Same here. And it's 1/6 over. You do that math, it's frightening. You know?
Madison Bumgarner is on the mound tonight, as you mentioned, making his third start as a D-back. One of the storylines from the first two starts has been diminished velocity. Fastball topping out in the high 80s. Tim Kirkjian, ESPN Baseball Insider with Doug and Wolf, also commented on that.
Well, yes, and it's been going down for several years now, and he's not the dominant pitcher that he used to be. He's not as overpowering or as intimidating as he used to be. But when you're the Diamondbacks and you have money to spend as you did in the offseason, you're trying to make a run here, you just hope that he can refine it because he's still relatively young. And he can figure this out. But anytime velocity drops, there is a reason to worry, especially in this day and age where velocity is so, so important. So, again, let's give him a couple more starts and see how things go. But, yes, there has to be concern there because he has not been crisp so far.
Look, there's nothing to worry about. There's
right.
plenty of time, but you really should start being concerned.
Yeah.
It's getting late early.
Right. Classic.
Well, I know you said last week, too, about, you know, Madison Bumgarner, you have faith in him to recalibrate things. You know, he's a good enough pitcher and competitor not to have to rely on the blazing velocity. And we've seen some pitchers make that transition. Now, Clayton Kershaw is another guy that we've seen, at least for the past couple seasons, and I saw a graphic, and I wish I would have grabbed it, percentage of fastballs over 92 miles per hour had gone down to almost nothing last year. He dedicated himself in the offseason to work on his velocity, and, you know, he had a quarter of his fastballs in his first start against the Diamondbacks were 92 miles an hour or above. So it's not impossible for that to happen, and maybe, you know, the weird training schedule and ramp-up this summer had an effect on Madison Bumgarner as well. But he can be a tone setter tonight. They need, you know, this is why you go out and get a Madison Bumgarner. When you get a top of the rotation starter like this, they always say, well, that's a guy that's going to come in and stop a losing streak. They need a win in the worst way tonight.
Yeah.
They need him to be very, very good tonight because there's no wiggle room with the lack of offense
they
have.
And if he can't do that, if he can't be that guy, then it makes you wonder, okay, who is Madison Bumgarner? That's why all of this, you know, this confluence of events here tonight with him pitching this game against a team like Houston that is struggling offensively without garbage cans banging in the background, right? This is what a guy like that has to do. This is why you have Madison Bumgarner. Got to stop the slump right here and now. Just change the direction. A starting pitcher can change the direction of a season
Absolutely.
With a perfectly timed outing, and that is what he's tasked with tonight, in my opinion.
Yeah, 6:10 first pitch tonight from Chase Field, D-backs and Astros, 5:30 pregame here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Coming up, DeAndre Hopkins spoke for the first time during his first Cardinals training camp, and he's just making people more excited about his presence in the Valley. We'll tell you what he said next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata.
It's tough when you have quarantine. You got a bunch of free time just to draw crazy plays. So we're going to try to minimize that and just let let DeAndre be the great player he is. We're going to have different things, different ways to try to get him the football, obviously. But we like the progress of this offense, kind of the direction it took late in the year. So, like we kind of found our identity, and he's just going to be an added weapon that's just going to hopefully make us that much better moving forward.
That was Cliff Kingsbury last week talking about drawing up some new plays, back of a napkin during quarantine for DeAndre Hopkins. And, you know, that's an aspect, you know, we've talked about it. I don't know how much we've delved into it so far, Big, is the
Arizona Sports breaking news.
From Adam Schefter of ESPN. Good thing the Cardinals addressed their offensive line depth. Cardinals offensive tackle Marcus Gilbert opting out of the 2020 season.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
Marcus Gilbert was placed on the non-football illness list earlier this week along with tight end Max Williams. From what I understood in the language of that was not, you know, there's a separate COVID-19 list. They were not on that.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Gilbert did land on that. So basically we can say that two seasons of Marcus Gilbert in Arizona will
very, very,
actually,
very unfruitful.
Actually lead to zero snaps.
Listen, my first instinct is to be disappointed by Marcus Gilbert, but guys like that, big, heavy offensive linemen, they're probably the most at-risk group of anybody.
Sure.
In terms of complications if they do catch it. So I respect that. I mean, if that's... anybody who decides to opt out, that is a personal, individual decision, and you got to kind of respect
this
that.
This is Cliff Kingsbury 30 minutes ago talking about when asked if he's had any players opt out.
Have not had those discussions. That's obviously an area that we respect and understand. Every person in this league has to do what's best for themselves and their family, and so I think you've seen the league is very understanding of that and want guys to do what they need to do in their own personal lives, and so I have not had those discussions yet, but that's something obviously we're open to.
Yeah, again, Adam Schefter reporting just moments ago, Cardinals offensive tackle Marcus Gilbert opting out of the 2020 season. I agree with you. We had talked about it, you know, leading up to today. Wow, the Cardinals haven't had a player opt out. This will not be the last.
No.
Can't fault anybody for having health on their mind.
No.
In this uncertainty, especially, you know, we talked to Max Kellerman, and he's like, how are they going to do this? A lot of players around the league asking that as well. I wonder, you know, and we talked about it when it happened too, Bick, the Kelvin Beachum signing. Now, he was out there, a guy who started last year, has got a lot of starting experience with a couple different teams.
Mm-hmm.
They go out and they get him. As much as I hate to say it, because we don't know what the Cardinals had in Marcus Gilbert, because he'll likely never play a game for them. But they still have pretty good depth at right tackle position.
I think so.
With Justin Murray, Josh Jones, and Kelvin Beachum in the mix, that's still a pretty formidable group to pick from.
Well, I would think going in that they did not trust Marcus Gilbert to stay healthy in the first place, and they might have strategized against that, and as a result, they're well covered now that he's opted out. I'm curious to see what else is going to shake out before the opt-out deadline. Now, keep in mind, just because there's a deadline about opting out doesn't mean guys can't get freaked out and say, I'm not playing. You can, I mean, what's going to stop a guy before week one who suddenly goes, I don't want to do this anymore? Nothing is really going to stop them. But
look, we've had baseball players who start the season and then say they're opting
out.
That's
right, and we've actually had one come back.
Yeah, Lorenzo Cain of the Brewers. You know, he was playing with his team, and he's like,
nah,
I'm not feeling it.
Right, not feeling
it. And Nick Markakis is like, I'm not going, you can't, I'm not playing, you can't make it. Okay, I'll play.
I'm coming
back. Did you
see
what happened to Freddie Freeman?
Yeah. Right.
What are you, crazy?
Wait, he's playing?
Oh, he's playing.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll play
too. Be there in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'll be there in 5 minutes. So that's kind of what I'm looking at here. I'm curious to see if there will be any big name shakeout, if anybody's thinking about this. Seems to me that most of the really integral pieces of the Cardinals are on board with this. But it's like I've said all along, I have really never doubted this. Football players reconcile a lot before they step onto a football field. They live to defy danger. I don't think a pandemic is going to throw them off of their mindset of who they are and what they do on a football field. And if Marcus Gilbert is the worst that the Cardinals suffer in terms of that attrition, then I think they'll be in good shape.
Yeah, I just I'm not hoping this happens, but I don't think he'll be the last. I think you're going to see several more people before the deadline.
From the Cardinals?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. From all over the league, I think.
Okay.
I think
there'll be more. I'm just curious who else it might be.
Well, again, that would I'm not going to go down and speculate on that, but
Tyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, and Larry Fitzgerald.
No, shut up, Jerry.
Kenyon Drake, yeah.
Marcus Gilbert re-signed with the Cardinals on March 26th. So, obviously...
Even when he re-signed, we were like, boy, that's kind of surprising.
COVID-19 was a thing. Obviously, we didn't know where we were going to be in August back then. So, obviously, a lot has changed in terms of his mindset. Wish him the best. But there, you can't even crack this up to a huge loss because, again, he's not contributed to this team just yet because of injury.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's exactly right on the money. Also curious, and we're going to hear more from Cliff Kingsbury later. Cliff Kingsbury went out of his way to say that Kyler Murray's really added muscle, that he's kind of added some body mass. Kyler Murray was a pretty thick young man to begin with.
Yeah.
I'll be curious to see what that looks like, if you can tell a noticeable difference. The last picture I saw of him, he was playing chess with Larry Fitzgerald. I could not tell.
You couldn't tell how ripped he was?
Yeah, I couldn't. Oh, I really couldn't.
I've seen some video of him. Just there was a tweet that Kyler put out there where he was running on the practice field, and he just said, it's too damn hot out here.
Right. That's right.
And he looks, I mean, he does look, and I don't mean this in a bad way, a little bulky. But and there was a lot of videos during quarantine that came out where he was, you know, on his own working out.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's taking this seriously. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of those defining characteristics about Kyler Murray that I think is going to serve him very well. He's a very serious-minded guy.
Yeah, so that's the latest. If you're just joining us, Marcus Gilbert, tackle for the Arizona Cardinals, becomes the first member of the team to tell the team that he's opting out of the 2020 season. We'll keep an eye on any other developments as camp continues for the Cardinals. Coming up next, it's 1 o'clock. We've got some social studies straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.